Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Joshua chapter 4 this morning. Joshua chapter 4. I want to bring a brief Memorial Day message to you. I want to read the first 7 verses of Joshua chapter 4, and then I want to just share some things that are on my heart, and I hope will be a blessing to you, that would encourage you on this Memorial Day weekend to seek the Lord's face. As we approach an election this year, as we are faced with a moral and spiritual decline in our country, I hope it will drive you to your knees to pray and to seek God's face. That's the answer for God's people. Time in the Word, time on your knees before the Lord in prayer for your country. I begin reading in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 4. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place, where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man out of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Father in heaven, I thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, as we consider thoughts from your word, and as we consider our country on this weekend in which we remember those who have died, seeking to preserve the liberties and the freedoms that we enjoy today. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might have a remembering mind and heart, that we would not be so engaged in our activities, thinking about only our purposes, our passions, our desires, our affections. Lord, that we would consider that what we enjoy today and the reason that we don't have another country that's invaded and taken over is because of the eternal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in answer to prayer. And I pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts today, that we might consider these thoughts, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I love to study history, and with our students this past week, we took our final exam over the remaining chapters of our book, and one of the men that was highlighted as someone who, in the late 1800s, had written much was Ralph Waldo Emerson. Now, I do not agree with his philosophy of life. He was one of those Enlightenment men that was trying to find God and nature and everything, but he was a brilliant man, a very smart man. And when he came down to the end of his life, he lost his memory, the ability to remember people's names, the ability to remember those that he had spent much of his life with. And oftentimes he would stop and said, My naughty memory has left me again. He would have to stop whenever he was speaking to someone or at a meeting or so forth. But this is what he said. He went to the funeral of his friend Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And Emerson commented to another person leaning over and said, That gentleman has a sweet, beautiful soul, but I have entirely forgotten his name. Now, it's always sad when we cannot remember. And especially when diseases like dementia or Alzheimer's or other types of things take away and strip away the heart and mind of memories past. And Ronald Reagan found out that he had Alzheimer's disease in 1994. He wrote a handwritten letter to the nation. It was published in many of the major newspapers. But there in that letter, he wrote in his handwriting, cross outs and problems that he had trying to communicate because the dementia was already at work in his mind. He wrote at the very end of that, I have begun the last goodbye or the long goodbye. All the memories that he had up here, all the reading that he had done, he was an avid reader, all that would be stripped away. It would all be gone. That's a sad testament to the curse of sin, is it not? That's what it does. It strips away that which is good and leaves behind nothing but emptiness. That's sin. Well, the loss of memory is sad. It cuts us off from days gone by. It strips away the treasured residue of past experiences. It erases our personal history and leaves us unaccountably blank pages that we cannot go back to recall. Not long ago, I was visiting in the nursing home after a service with a very delightful elderly lady who sang many of the hymns that we sang from memory. But I went up to her to begin to speak to her, and I shook her hand and I thanked her for coming. And this is what she began to do. She began to talk, and then she said, "I have forgotten what I was going to say." And I said, "Well, you were able to remember those dear hymns of the past." She sang them all from memory. She said, "But I cannot remember the things that were just said just a few moments ago." Now, she could remember her childhood. She could remember the things that were put in her heart and mind when she was a child, but short-term memory was gone. Three times in my conversation with her, she said, "I forgot what I was going to say to you. I forgot what I was going to say to you." Now, there are different types of loss of memory. That is no fault of the individuals. Ronald Reagan, Ralph Waldo Emerson, the lady in the nursing home. It's just the result of years, time, disease that's brought on as a result of the curse of sin. But there is two other types of loss of memory. One is due to carelessness, and the other is due to willfulness. Just refusing to remember the past. Or carelessness, I don't care about the past. These are the things that we have to look out for as believers in Christ, that we not forget. Here in this passage of Scripture, here in Joshua chapter 4, Joshua tells 12 men, "I want you to go into the Jordan River, and I want you to gather out 12 large stones." Now remember, these stones would have been in the river for some time. The ripple of the current would have passed over those stones and they would have been smooth. That's what they were looking for. No stones that men had chiseled on or hammered into shape. Just 12 smooth stones out of the bottom of that river. They were to carry them to the other side where they were going to camp, and they were to stack them there. Those 12 stones for the rest of time were to be a witness to something. It was a witness that God keeps His Word. That should be emphasized, I think. The fact that they were walking across the Jordan River after 40 years in the wilderness because of their sin, because they dared to accuse God of not taking care of them after He had just delivered them from the hand of the Egyptians, delivered them from the armies of the Egyptians, brought them across on dry ground so that they could come into the promised land. They rebelled against God, and so for 40 years, everyone who was over the age of 20 died in that wilderness. They didn't get to go in. Now the younger generation is there, that have grown up during the wilderness wanderings. And they are to take those stones, one from each tribe, stack them up there, and then when the children would ask about, "What are these stones doing here?" They were to do what? They were to remind them that when they stepped foot into the Jordan River to cross over, what happened? The water stopped flowing, and the ground dried up, and the children of Israel passed across that little tiny river onto dry ground, and they placed those stones there as a memorial to the fact that God always keeps His Word. Now there are some things, folks, I want you to listen to me now. There are some things that God has given to us that are worth remembering. And that means you have to fight two things. You may not be able to do anything about a disease that takes over the mind, but you can do something about the other two things. Number one, carelessness. I look at America today and I see a very careless, careless nation. We watch these programs where they'll go and they'll interview college students, young people that have gone to these very expensive colleges, Yale, Harvard, Dartmouth, go down the list of these colleges, and they interview them and they'll put a picture up of a founding father and they don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. They thought Joe Biden was another character from past history, and he's a man who's alive today. I don't know what that says about his portrait, but what it does say is that two things have happened. We have either willfully forgotten or we've gotten careless. We just don't care. On this Memorial Day, I hope that I can emphasize to you in the few minutes that we have left some important things in regard not only to the Word of God, but also as an American. Have you forgotten that your liberty that you possess today was purchased at great price? It began on a little green up in Concord, Massachusetts, taking a stand against a tyrannical nation that was not going to give us freedom, not going to allow us to be able to do the things, not to have representation, to be taxed beyond measure. And so some patriots got together and they defended themselves against the British. And that was the beginnings of the Revolutionary War, in which thousands would give their lives, shed their blood, so that we could have freedom to establish a country where we're not told what religion we have to follow. We're not told that you're going to pay a tax without anything. You see, all of these things came about because of blood and sacrifice. Do you remember that? Oh, we could go through every war. The British came back again in the early 1800s, 1812, and attacked again, thinking we're going to catch them off guard. But thankfully, our men were alert, and we were able to fend them off. And within a period of less than 2 years, Britain said, "We will never come against you again." The nation with the largest military, we only had 5 ships in 1812 in our Navy. Count them, 5. And we were able to defend ourselves against the British Navy, drive them off, win the battle, War of 1812. Do you remember that? I could take you to the Civil War, the battle that was fought here with over 600,000 men died. It was a battle that we knew from history had to be fought. Something had to happen, something had to give. Great issues that were at place. I don't know fully all the ramifications. I don't think we even know what that war brought about. But there was blood that was shed in our country. And thankfully, we were able to stay together and be able to continue on. But then there was World War I and World War II. And then there was the Korean War and the Vietnam War and the First Persian Gulf War and the Second Persian Gulf War and the fighting that continues to go on to defend something we call freedom. To be able to believe and trust in the Lord. To be able to raise our children according to conscience and the Word of God. Folks, do you remember? Do you remember what these individuals, these rows of crosses that you saw here, and I heard some of you grunting to yourself or making noises. Look at the total in the Philippines, the blood that was shed, the Bataan Death March in World War II, where the Japanese bayoneted and shot Americans who had not eaten for a week as they were being ordered to move, and many of them would fall down to the ground and they would be stabbed and their bodies kicked to the side. Why? Because they were Americans. They were Americans. could go on with story after story, but my point is this. Have we grown so shallow in America that we cannot remember what it costs to maintain freedom? We are in a time of testing. We are in a time of great decline. I don't see us coming out of this. I really don't. Now, maybe that's pessimistic, but I don't know. I don't know what God has in store. But I do know this, that for the last nearly 60 years, we've taken our eye off God and we've had it on ourselves. We've had it on ourselves. We said we don't want Bible reading in our public schools. We don't want prayer in our public schools. We don't want the Ten Commandments on our courthouse steps. We don't want it in our courtrooms. Those decisions, folks, have consequences. Those decisions have consequences. We will not ride along throughout the remainder of hundreds of years having rejected an eternal God. Every nation is to give God His due. The Bible says that. The Lord exalteth the nation who exalts Him, and He teareth down those that refuse. Can go through the Bible and see nation rise and then they become very, very shallow and self-dependent, independent of God, and the nation came crashing down. I'm afraid that's what's in store for us. The biblical narrative, which leads up to the text that we have before us, tells the story of Israelites' long-awaited entry into the promised land. Oh, what a glorious day that was. After 40 years of wilderness wandering, the people finally reached their destination. But there was one thing that blocked their way, a little river, the Jordan River. How are we going to get across? Well, God had already taken care of that, but something had to happen first. They had to go and they had to get 12 stones out of the river. They had to get ready to build a memorial to what God had done and that God was keeping His Word. When the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant began to place their feet in the river, the Bible tells us that the water ceased flowing and the people crossed over on dry ground. Just as their forebears had done when they escaped the Egyptians, it was a reminder to them of what had happened 40 years before and had brought God's judgment upon the people. And this generation may have heard about that, but they're going to be reminded of this that took place. It was a reminder not only that God keeps His Word, but that God judges nations who take their eyes off of Him. 40 long years. Everyone who was 20 years old and younger buried their parents and their grandparents and brothers and sisters that were over the age of 20 that had sinned. I am sure as they were stepping across the Jordan, they left behind grave sites all through dotted through the sand behind them of those that had lost their life. Why? Because they had taken their eyes off of Jesus Christ, off of God Almighty that had delivered them. And so, this little river here that stands between them and the promised land opens up when the Ark of the Covenant, the priests step into that and the way is made. And they're reminded of what happened 40 years ago. Folks, carelessness and willfulness will erase the memory of God and bring judgment to your family, to your individual life, to your home, to your church, and to your nation. When you take your eyes off of the Lord. I was speaking with a pastor this past week, and I'll close with this, who was bemoaning the fact, said, we were having such a difficulty. We have so many of our young people that are leaving and not coming back to the church, and we're doing all kinds of things. We're doing visitation. We can't seem to get them back. And I told him, I said, that's because you never had their heart to start with. Didn't have their heart. You see, folks, in order to be able to do what's right, to live right, to do right, to enjoy the presence and blessing of God, your heart has to belong to Him. And willfulness and carelessness will erase all of that memory. And what have you got left? Just the world. That's all you have left is the world. And we see what the world has to give. Temporary pleasure, lifelong trouble. Because we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. As we conclude this message, I hope and pray that each one of us will set up a memorial. As this verse says in verse 7, then ye shall answer them, the children that ask, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel for how long? Forever. I don't know where those stones are. But you know what? The memory is still with us. Where is it recorded? Right here. You see, folks, let's make the transition. The memorial stones are found here. I can't take you to Israel right now. I can't load you up on a jumbo jet and we fly on over there and find the 12 stones. They're not there. They're gone. But they're right here. And they're just as good as seeing them with our eyes and touching them with our hands. Amen? Just as good because I have the Word of God. Is your heart and mind linked to this precious book? If it's not, then your eyes are not on the Lord, because this is His Word to you. And your memory will fade, and you'll have nothing of any value. May God help us on this Memorial Day weekend to thank God for America, but to thank God that we have a copy of the Word of God. The memorial stones of everything that God wanted us to know from the past. But today, much of this is forgotten because the Bible just sits idly on the counter throughout the week, and sometimes we pick it up and bring it to church. In America today, this book is not precious anymore. It's not something that we link our hearts and minds to. A recent poll this past week, George Barna, 75% of pastors in America preach from the Bible on Sunday. 75%. The poll was of over 1,000 pastors that was done. 75% of the 1,000 said they preach from the Bible. What are they preaching from? What are they preaching from? And I would imagine that those that were the 75% preach their opinions about this book, many of them. That's just my opinion. I'll just throw that out there. Listen, while you have memory, fill it with this book. And just like that lady who sat in the back row of the convalescent center in her wheelchair, sang every hymn from memory, but her short-term memory was gone. She had put something worthwhile in her heart, and it was able to strengthen her when she couldn't remember who my name was, where we were from, what we were doing there. She could still sing the hymns of the faith. What are you putting in your hearts and minds as a memorial that will stay with you all the way through the future? Is it worthwhile? Is it from this book? If it's not, then you're falling, you're failing, and you'll have nothing in the future. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time together today. I thank you for Memorial Day weekend. Lord, I'm overwhelmed as I consider those that have gone on before us who shed their blood, some of them just teenagers, not even graduated from high school, went into war to fight for the United States of America and shed their blood. Countless millions who came back completely devastated, brain trauma, physical trauma to the point that they could not even work because they had fought for the United States of America. We thank you for the freedom and the liberty that we enjoy. And I pray today that you would also help us to understand and know that as Christians, we cannot have short-term memory when it comes to your word. You've raised up your word as memorial stones for us to recall the things that are worthy of recalling. I pray that you would work in our hearts, that we might have memories that are not careless and willful to reject, but memories that are careful and desire through the will to know the Word of God and to live it. Father, bless our time around the flag. I pray that it might be a special time of remembering those that have paid the ultimate price, that we might be able to gather here today and worship Thee in freedom. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.